You've seen the passage before, many of you have. You've even read it before. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. Therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11. Encourage one another, build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. You see, the Apostle Paul tells these Thessalonian brethren, you've been encouraging one another, keep encouraging one another. You've been doing it, I encourage you to keep doing it. But can I tell you, can I remind us, there's a context there. It starts with therefore, so previous to verse 11, the first 10 verses of chapter 5, there's a context there. Paul had been telling them to be sober and alert. He had been encouraging them to be watchful, to be vigilant, to be self-controlled. He was encouraging these Thessalonian brethren who had turned from idols to serve the true and living God. He had been encouraging them to not allow the pagan world of thinking and living to influence them in a negative sort of way. So he says to these brethren, you have been encouraging one another in these matters. Keep encouraging one another. Encourage. That's a big word. It's a compound word. It comes from two words, English words, in and courage. See, if you encourage, what you're doing is you're putting courage into someone. If you are an encourager, you're working to put new strength back into someone. You're coming alongside that person and you're building them up. You're comforting them. You're consoling them. You're giving them strength to encourage. Who needs your encouragement today? How can you be? How can I be a better encourager? Good morning and welcome to all who are here, especially those this morning that are visiting. We have visitors this morning and we're grateful to you. We're thankful for your presence, but more importantly, your interest in things that are spiritual and the way that you've already encouraged us by being here this morning. If there's a way we can encourage you, if there's a way we can put new strength into you, if there is a way we can help you, let us know how to do that. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you, Phil, for your leadership in song. Rick, for your prayer. Those who have led us this morning. Let's look at a lesson. Let's think about being an encourager. I got to tell you. I got to show you. I was reading a book some time ago. The author asked this question. Are you raising an encourager? That's a probing question. That's a deep question. It got my attention. Are you raising an encourager? I don't know if you go to Starbucks. I don't know if you drink Starbucks. I don't know if you even drink coffee. And I thought about, do I put this picture up? Because I may lose some folks. They may think coffee and not get anything else about what I'm saying. Hopefully that's not going to be you. Starbucks is known, and there are other restaurants. Starbucks has been known for this concept of paying it forward. And a lot of you get that. Some of you may have already done that. You see, it's seen as a random act of kindness. What you do is you pay for the person behind you. Now, you don't know, did they get one coffee? Did they get 5 cups of coffee? What all did they get? But what you're doing is you're showing kindness. You're paying it forward. And one of the things as I was hearing about this and reading about this some time ago was a lot of the baristas, BJ taught me that word, a lot of the baristas were saying that this kind of paying it forward concept, it's contagious. It's contagious. This random act of showing kindness, this random act of paying it forward is very contagious. And here's a thought I had. If it can work in buying coffee, can it work in building churches? Paying encouragement forward. When I help someone to succeed spiritually, I succeed spiritually. I hope, I believe that you are getting that. When I help someone else succeed spiritually, I succeed spiritually. Perhaps some of my greatest fruit will grow on someone else's tree. Are you raising an encourager? Are you paying? Am I paying encouragement forward? In this church, as it ought to be the case in every church, I want our focus to be on this church and this family where I am a member and have to have a part or a share. I mean, there's building that goes on, there's battling that goes on, there's bonding that ought to go on. When we talk about building, I want you to focus in the beginning that we're constantly to be strengthening not only our faith, but the faith of others. And as we're battling, we're strengthening the fellowship. We want to pull together. We want this local congregation to be of one heart and one mind, of one accord. That is biblical language. Do the search for yourself. And as you talk about this battling and the strengthening of fellowship as a result of the strengthening of my faith and your faith, there ought to be bonding. And it's the strengthening of this family. Because this family is about people, saved people, people. And in family, you're dealing with relationships, and relationships have everything to do with the essentiality of helping one another. Yes, to draw closer to God, absolutely, but to draw closer to one another. Strengthening faith, strengthening fellowship, strengthening family. And what I hope to get us to see this morning through this lesson is how encouragement connects itself to all three. Can I encourage us to be better encouragers? A lot of you here have already been doing that. I want to encourage you to look for other opportunities or to simply keep on, in the words of the Apostle Paul, keep on doing what you're doing. But there's always room for more. You see, the Apostle Paul was teaching the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 4, when every joint supplies, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's always room for more encouragers in the body of Christ. So I want to encourage us this morning in the area of encouragement. Well, what can we do? How can I be a better encourager? How can I help to encourage others? Well, point people toward God. Point people toward God. Here's a bottom line truth, and I need you to stay with me through this lesson. I try not to float in and out. People don't simply need more of me in their life. People need more of God in their life. Now, I hope I've already explained to you people matter. bonding, strengthening in the family. But people don't just need more of me in their life and more of you in their life. They need more of God in their life. Go through New Testament passages. And what got my attention again as I was going back through some of these passages is to note in so many of the passages, the scriptures are very specific with regards to how others were encouraging. I think about Acts 11. Notice in Acts 11, beginning in verse 22, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. News of what? Well, people are coming to Christ. People are obeying the gospel. They're turning to the Lord. And news of this reaches Jerusalem, and so what the people in Jerusalem do in the church is they say, hey, we're sending Barnabas. Barnabas said, I'm the guy, I'll go. And he goes to Antioch. And in Acts 11 and verse 23, when Barnabas arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their heart. That's pretty specific there. What he's doing is he's pointing them toward God. To remain with resolute heart, with all your heart now true to the Lord. Acts 14, verse 21. When they, Paul and Barnabas, had preached the gospel to that city, had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Why did they go back? Churches had been planted. People had come to Christ. People had been saved by the gospel. And they go back to those cities. Why do they go back? These are baby disciples. These are infant Christians, if you will. And what the text says is they were strengthening, Acts 14, 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, it's through many tribulations that you'll enter the kingdom of God. Sometimes what infant disciples need to hear is just because you've come to Christ doesn't mean now everything's going to be easy street. Doesn't mean that serving Christ is going to be easy. Doesn't mean you're going to be exempt from suffering and hardship. In fact, perhaps it will increase because you now have new faith and because you now have new loyalty and allegiance. And what they're doing is they're coming back to these infant churches and they're strengthening the brethren in these churches by way of encouraging and preaching. And we keep doing that today. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. For you know, Paul writes to these Thessalonian brethren, you know that we dealt with each of you, listen how, as a father deals with his own children. That's telling. As a father deals with his own children, we were encouraging, comforting, urging, we were encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. They're pointing people toward God. In a very encouraging way, they're saying, hey, here's a life that truly brings honor and glory to God. And at times, perhaps letting folks know, listen, if you're tempted to go back and live this way and serve in this way, remember that doesn't bring glory to God. You're made of better stuff here. You're different now. Your goals have changed. Your priorities have changed. Your focus has changed. And they're just encouraging people to live lives worthy of God. Hebrews 3, see to it, brothers. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. That none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns from the living God. But encourage one another daily while it is still called today. Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Don't let time go by when you see someone who's been overcome by the deception of sin, taken captive by the devil. Don't let a lot of time go by because the possibility is there for this person to become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so the admonition, the encouragement from the Hebrew writer was, let's do this daily. And we'll see chapter 10. Let's do this and so much the more. We'll see that. But it's the passages are clear. Pointing people to God. But I want to say this. I need to say this. Sometimes that means encouraging them and pointing out the sin in their life. Sometimes in encouraging and pointing people to God, what you want to do is in a right sort of way at the right time, and to put new strength back into them, you want them to see things from God's perspective. And I acknowledge that takes wisdom and patience. But it's about pointing people to God. But I want to say this. It took me a while. And it took some growing in me to realize, as an encourager and trying to be like Barnabas, not everybody needs me to come with a Bible verse and hit them over the head like with a club. Not everybody needs me to blast them with a sermon. I didn't say they didn't need truth. I didn't say they didn't need God's direction, but they didn't need it in the form of a sermon. What they needed me to do to put new courage into them is they needed me to remind them of the promises of God. They needed for me to remind them of the character of God. How do I do that? How do I remind people of the promises of God? I'm pointing them toward God, so how do I remind them of the promises of God and help them to see better the character and the nature of God? Surely you would understand this through sharing the Scriptures. Sharing the Scriptures. There's another way. Share your story. And the point of sharing your story is not to make yourself the focal point, but to make God the focal point. Remember what we're doing? We're pointing people to God, but you share your story. How many have had someone, I don't want to show of hands, but how many this morning have someone share with you their story? Their story was, I once was where you are today. I once had to walk through or was walking through what you're facing today. And here's something that helped me. I came out on the other end. Here's what God did for me. Here's what others did for me. Let me share my story. Here's what helped me. Here's how God got me through it. Yes, share the Scriptures, but sometimes share your story. But again, remember, as an encourager, we're not trying to build people's dependency upon us, but to build their dependency upon God. Point people toward God. And then to be an encourager, be purposeful with your words. One writer says that our words are like oil that lubricates relationships. Well, he's right about that. The oil that lubricates relationships. What do I mean by purposeful? Well, what I mean is there has to be a specific aim. There has to be a specific intention behind your words. Your words are targeted toward encouraging or putting new strength and heart back into someone. Listen to the wise man, Proverbs 12, 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. You see what my target is? I'm going to take an encouraging word and direct it toward this person's anxiety. What's weighing them down? Proverbs 16 and verse 24, pleasant or kind and courteous, encouraging words are like honey, sweet to the taste and good for your health. Good for your health. Sweet to the taste. Someone needs to have their spirits lifted. Someone needs to have their faith strengthened. They need new health, spiritually speaking. They need some direction that motivates them to keep going and keep growing in a God-honoring direction. And so my words are targeted toward this person. My email is targeted toward this direction. My text is targeted toward this end. I want to help this person and encourage this person to keep growing and to keep going in a God-honoring direction. How often do we praise people? I grew up, and I understand that the balance here. Somebody's thinking, and you know, giving praise to people, we can overdo it. I get that. Typically, and I acknowledge one man's vantage point. Typically, I don't think that's been our weak point in local churches. I don't think somebody said, you know what, they do too much praising there, and since they do too much praising, it just puffs people up with pride. I think our weak point is we don't do enough, and I'm a part of the we. But when you think about praise, and I talk about purposeful words, so my praise and my offering of thanks, is it specific? Is it generous? Is it genuine? It's possible for it to be genuine and even generous, but not specific. Are you with me? Man, Ernie, I really appreciate you, brother. I don't think Ernie ever gonna say, oh, come on. I like to hear that. Sure, he likes to hear that. That didn't do much, did it, Ernie? Not much. Ernie, I really appreciate how as an older, seasoned veteran of the faith, you're an encouraging example to making family a priority. Well, that's a little bit different. You can thank me for that later. That's a little bit different. And it was genuine, by the way. That's working now. See, it's genuine, generous, specific. Are you raising an encourager? I hope that I am. I hope that I have. When you raise an encourager, you raise an encourager as you model and teach. I didn't just say teach. I said model and teach. You raise an encourager as you model and teach, saying please and thank you. Please and thank you. I really want to thank you, brother. Okay. For what? See, specific. Specific. Purposeful with your words. But it can't just be words. You knew this was coming. Actions. Be practical with your actions. Have you ever said, like I have said, you know, I struggle with knowing what to say? So maybe there on that point earlier, I kind of lost you because you're thinking, I struggle with knowing what to say. I still struggle with knowing what to say. The book of Job, or at least in the beginning of the book of Job, helps me with this. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, when they heard of Job's plight in the beginning, and they travel a long distance to get to their friend, and they see Job in his suffering. For 7 days and seven nights, they sit down and utter not a word. Sometimes your presence is as powerful and perhaps even more powerful than anything you could say, because saying the wrong thing at the wrong time is never encouraging. It's discouraging. Paul to the Corinthians in a second letter in chapter 7, he was telling about how he had internal conflict going, not just the outside, but the inside. What was going on in Paul, the Apostle Paul's spirit, that was causing and could cause areas of discouragement and frustration and fear. And Paul said, I had this working internally, and God encouraged, God comforted me, Paul says, through the coming of Titus. The Apostle Paul didn't need a sermon. He needed a person. He needed someone's presence to show up and to be an encouragement. And so my encouragement to us is, don't just speak encouragement, show encouragement. Show encouragement. Don't just speak encouragement. You know, if I come home one day and I walk into the house, and I'm walking the house and Amy's got everything ready, and I sit down to my favorite meal. I gave you the Starbucks picture, so I won't describe my favorite meal. And I'm sitting down to my favorite meal, and I eat it and take in every bite, and I savor it, and I finish eating, and I push away from the table, and I turn and look at Amy. I said, "Honey," now remember, preacher said, "Be very generous and genuine and specific," and I am, and I say, "Honey, I want to thank you for you. It's obvious that you thought about this and you planned this and you worked hard to make me my favorite meal. And honey, I wanted to just thank you for doing that. That's one of the best meals, and it meant so much to me that you thought about me. Thank you." But rather than on that occasion, rather than doing that, what if I just push away from the table? And all I say, and ladies, you can thank me for this later. All I say is, "Amy, thank you. Now you go to the other room and prop your feet up and let me take care of the dishes." It's an action that carries as much, perhaps in certain situations, greater power than any words you could speak. I did something. I didn't just say something. Now you get Hebrews 10. Stay with me. I don't want to lose you. I'm going a little bit longer this morning, not long. Now you get Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Encouraging and actions. Thought into this. Here's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "Let us consider how to stimulate one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near." Let us consider how. Let us consider how. I mean this genuinely, and this is not directed. I'm not trying to take a shot at anyone in the kingdom about this, but I mean this genuinely. It's time to stop using Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 as a Bible bomb to make more people attend more services who don't want to really be here. What's the point of Hebrews 10, 24, and 25? Pay careful attention. Give thought. Give careful thought into how you can stimulate someone to greater love and deeper service. Now, absolutely, when I'm doing that, when I'm fulfilling that part of the admonition and the encouragement, when I'm all about that, I'm not going to willfully absent myself from those occasions when Christians gather together to receive and give encouragement. But the focal point is, okay, how can I do this? And the point I want us to see here is, yes, there are those who could be back a second time on Sunday at 5 o'clock, who could be here with God's people at Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and they're just not. And they need to be encouraged, and they need to be pushed and prodded, and they need people to point them toward God. But what about, is it possible for me to be here every time the doors are open and not be fulfilling Hebrews 10, 24, and 25? Absolutely. I can come in, sit down, and when the amen is said in the last prayer, leave. If I'm doing that, how am I fulfilling Hebrews 10, 24? So when do I start thinking about this Hebrews 10:24 passage? Do I start thinking about it once I get to the building? It's too late. Think about when you get up on Sunday. Think about it at the beginning of your day at lunchtime or earlier on Wednesday. We're going to get together, and if I'm able to be there and the saints are together, then here's something that I can do or something I can say to be involved in this encouraging one another. So is it encouraging or discouraging when I get here and I don't sing? I don't turn the pages. I don't pay attention. You can tell I'm in and out. I don't really want to be here. Is that encouraging or discouraging? That's discouraging. Where do we fit in this? Where do you fit in this Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? You can't help everybody. And you can help somebody. This is a big family. You can't fix everybody because not everybody wants to be fixed. But some do. Some are listening. And there are those who feel like outsiders here. They just do. They currently don't feel as though they fit. They currently don't feel as though they mattered. They sometimes feel alone. And you can feel alone and be in a crowd. People who are lonely. People who feel shame. Maybe the shame that they're feeling is a result of their own sins, but they still need encouragement. They still need to be pointed toward God. They still need courage put back in them. Or maybe they're still wrestling with the shame of their past. And the devil's pretty good at doing that. Even though I'm redeemed and forgiven and cleansed and righteous and justified, still the devil tries to do tricks with my mind to get me to go back to a year ago, 5 years ago, 30 years ago, to what you did and who you hurt, to try to take you back into a pit of despair. I love to encourage others. But maybe you're sitting there saying, yeah, I get you, preacher. But, you know, I need encouragement myself. Isn't it hard to give away what you don't have? You guys know me that I'm mechanically challenged. But I do understand how to take the cables and connect the positive and negative to my battery in my car and the positive and the negative to someone else's battery in their car and tell them what to do and what I need to do in my car when my battery needs to be charged. Some of you are here this morning and your battery is about 10%. You know, your cell phones, and you look at this and your cell phone goes about 30 and 20 and 10%. You're at about 10%. Your battery is about 10%. And you need to get charged up. And you're thinking, I need somebody to speak into my life. I need somebody to do for me. And that is true. Can I give you this passage, though? Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper, but he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Sometimes in my mind, the way I've thought before is, hey, I need people to do for me, not me do for people. And I was at a very low point. But sometimes what has helped me is when I've been in a lowest point, it's just go do something for someone else. Send someone else an email. Send someone else a text. Do a good deed for someone else and see how that boosts your spirit. I'm not saying that magically makes all the problems go away and all the difficulties go away and it fixes everything. But what it does is it helps you. And maybe what that's doing is helping you for the next 12 or 24 or 36 hours till God will use someone else to bring into your life that now picks you up doing something for you. Don't stay idle. Just the little things, the small things that maybe you can do. And then finally, pray fervently with focus. Pray fervently and with focus. Because prayer not only connects us to God, it connects us to God's people. To pray fervently is to be constant without ceasing, earnest. To pray focused, again, means careful thought, stretched toward application. Now, I know the Lord knows our heart. And I do get that there are times in prayer where we don't know what to say. Well, there's encouragement in Romans 8, how God uses the Spirit, Holy Spirit. There's encouragement there. I know that. But my point is, focused praying. You see, because discouraged people need direction and advice. And if they're given the wrong direction and the wrong advice in a very vulnerable time of discouragement, that can do a lot of things that we never intended for it to do in that person's life. So when is a more appropriate time to have, if you will, laser-like praying, okay, Lord, show me, teach me, lead me. You remember last Sunday from Psalm 25? Show me, teach me, lead me. Lord, show me who needs encouragement this week. Lord, show me who shouldn't wait another week. I can't handle 5, I can't handle 10, but I can handle 1. And Lord, if you'll point me in a direction, if you'll show me the one, I'll be the one to work through you. Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me words of truth and comfort so that I can share, so that I can put new courage and new heart back into someone who's discouraged. Teach me. And Lord, lead me. In this one, lead me in the way that's wise and right in doing the work of encouraging. Can I encourage us, though, not just to pray, but to finish our prayers? This is where I used to stop, and some of you may think, I wish you'd stop here now. This is where I used to stop. I'll tell you why I don't stop here anymore. That was me. Show me. Teach me, lead me. And I'd get in my secret place and I'd pray those things with fervency and focus. But you know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't finish my prayers. I wasn't putting feet and hands to my words. Let me caution us. Satan will work hard to get between your good intentions and your good work. And he's very good at that. We let him. I let him. I had a thought. I had a good idea. I had a good intention. And it sparked and motivated me through my praying. And then I said, I need to do this. And I'm going to do this. And I want to do this. But my intentions stopped at intentions. And within a few hours or a few days, I didn't. And my message for all of us this morning, if that is you, resist the devil and stop quenching the Spirit. Finish your prayers, follow through with your faith. Do the good work of encouraging. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just in fact as you also are doing. Who needs me today? Who needs me this week? And after I look at the who and pray about the who, then look at the how and pray about the how. Who, Lord? How, Lord? And when that happens in a local church, that church will be strengthened. And that's the leadership's direction for us this year. Strengthen this church. Every joint supplies. Causes growth for the edifying of itself. The growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. But are you here this morning? You're not in Christ? Can I give you encouraging news? God, through Jesus Christ, can save you. God loves you. God proved His love to you by sending the best that heaven had, Jesus Christ. Jesus showed His love for you by giving His life for you to make possible the cleansing of your sins. Are you here this morning and you're not in Christ? Do you need to hear more of the gospel? Do you need some questions answered in the area of what must I do to be saved by and through the blood of Jesus Christ? Can we encourage you and point you toward God and His Son, Jesus Christ, to give you new hope? A new faith? Are you here this morning as a child of God and you've fallen from grace and there's sin in your life? The good, great news of the gospel points us to the God who says, I'm a God of second chances. I'm a God who restores. I'm a God who forgives. I'm a God who has new mercy. And if you're here this morning and you are yet in your sins, humble yourself. Take them before God. Repent of them and turn from the sin and turn back to God. Let us help you and hold up your hands and pray for you if we can help you. In any way spiritually, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing.